Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. That was ugly last night from Tennessee. The Vols lose to Florida by 26 down in Gainesville, so a quad one opportunity win on the road for Tennessee is down the drain. Meanwhile, Alabama picked up a really impressive win on Tuesday night. We will talk about all of that and more as the Vols have to bounce back in a hurry with a top 20 Missouri team coming to Thompson Bowling Arena this upcoming Saturday. Tennessee loses to Florida 75-49, a 26-point loss. Tennessee, after trailing big early, never got the deficit closer to 6 points late in the first half. Then in the second half, as Florida started to stretch things out to about a 20-point lead, Tennessee went on an 11-2 run, got the deficit to 11 with a little more than 9 minutes remaining. It looked like Tennessee might be able to make a move, go on a run, and then Florida responded with a 13-0 run to make it a 24-point game. Tennessee never got closer than 15 points again after that, and the Vols ended up losing by 26. Tennessee shot just 29% from the field, 16% from three-point range, 48% from the free throw line. Tennessee was 12 of 25 on foul shots, just an all-around horrible day offensively for Tennessee. The Vols had 17 offensive rebounds, which is a little bit easier to get when you miss so many shots. Tennessee was out-rebounded overall 44-36. Florida looked like it wanted it more than Tennessee. It looked like it was competing harder than Tennessee on the glass. And defensively, Florida was just more active all around the court than Tennessee was, forcing Tennessee into mistakes. Tennessee had 11 assists. Florida had 11 steals. Tennessee had 11 turnovers. The Vols had 17 made field goals. So just the worst performance of the season all around in terms of an offensive standpoint for Tennessee. And you could make the argument defensively as well. Tennessee looked out of sync on defense at times, where Florida was able to get open looks. A team that was not shooting well from behind the arc had plenty of open opportunities and did a nice job at utilizing back cuts, was able to get inside. They hit mid-range jumpers. Florida shot 49% from the field, 31% from three, which wasn't great, but still generating open looks, you're going to at least have a decent floor that you can count on if you're the Gators. And to make matters worse, Tennessee lost to Florida with the Gators not having Keontae Johnson, but also not having Colin Castleton, who's been the guy that's been filling that void in the front court for Florida, and also didn't have Scotty Lewis, the guard who's been a big part of Florida's team the last couple of seasons under Mike White as well. John Fulkerson leads the way for Tennessee with 15 points. Nobody else scores in double figures. Fulkerson also had three turnovers. Keon Johnson with three turnovers. Josiah Jordan James with a pair of turnovers. Victor Bailey Jr., a really rough night for him. 1 of 12 from the field, 0 of 6 from behind the arc, 2 of 6 from the free throw line, 5 turnovers, and just 4 points for Victor Bailey Jr. in 25 minutes. It's a game that sometimes you just have in college basketball, and hopefully that's not an indication of what this team is going to be moving forward. And hopefully Tennessee is going to be able to find a way to break out of hopefully an offensive slump in time for that rematch with Missouri that's going to be coming in with a chip on its shoulder on Saturday. And so a stat that I want to bring up to you about Tennessee going up against faster paced teams. I kind of mentioned this with the Alabama and Arkansas games, but when you look at these numbers, according to the KenPom rankings, when Tennessee faces a team that is ranked in the top 100 in adjusted tempo, so we're talking about like the top 30 percentile or so, maybe a little bit under that, but one of the third fastest teams in college basketball, along with a team that ranks in the top 75 or so in offensive efficiency, Tennessee is 0-3 against the spread against those teams. And those games would be Arkansas, Florida, and Alabama. Arkansas, 52nd in offensive efficiency, 20th in adjusted tempo. Florida, 32nd in adjusted offensive efficiency, 79th in adjusted tempo. They were about 90th going into the game against Tennessee last night. Alabama, 13th in offensive efficiency, 12th in adjusted tempo. Cincinnati is 62nd in adjusted tempo. They were 100th, they're ranked 100th in offensive efficiency, so they wouldn't really count here. Cincinnati, again, 3-7 on the season. Colorado is a slower-paced team. They are 19th in offensive efficiency, but 233rd in adjusted tempo, so they wouldn't fit here. St. Joseph's is a really fast-paced team, but they rank outside the top 200 in offensive efficiency, so that wouldn't apply here. But those three teams, teams that are good offensively and can do so at a fast pace, have given Tennessee fits. And so that's something that maybe we should be looking out for as the season progresses. And a team coming up on Tennessee's schedule that can potentially do that to Tennessee. Obviously, you've got Florida in the SEC, Arkansas and Alabama in general, seeing on who you could see in the SEC tournament. Kansas is a team that is in the top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. They're 225th in adjusted tempo, but we've seen Kansas this season that they can speed things up when they need to. And Kansas obviously has taken back-to-back losses after taking that loss to Baylor earlier on Monday. So it's a really slow start for Kansas in Big 12 play. The Jayhawks are 10-4 on the year, and when they've gone up against elite teams, they have struggled. And defensively, it really hasn't been the big issue. It's been good offensive teams that have been able to run up on Kansas. Tennessee does not fit that mold right now. This is not an elite offensive team. So that's something that Tennessee's going to have to watch for when it faces Kansas in a week and a half. Missouri is a team that is starting to slowly speed itself up. You've seen Missouri. They're kind of a middle-of-the-pack team in terms of adjusted tempo, ranking at 165. We know how good they are defensively, 61st. In offensive efficiency. So it's going to be a tough task for Tennessee to sweep Missouri this year, coming off a loss like that. Missouri coming off a 81-70 win over South Carolina. So the Tigers top 20 in the AP poll, top 40 in the KenPom rankings. And so that is something to pay attention to. Again, fast-paced teams that are good offensively. And so not necessarily talking about a team like UCLA, which ranks 8th in offensive efficiency, but 336th in tempo. We're not necessarily talking about teams like that or a Virginia team that you typically see pretty efficient on offense, but you're going to see them almost always dead last in adjusted tempo. So we're not talking about teams like that. I'm referring to teams like Alabama that can be efficient while playing fast. Villanova has been great at that over the years. This year, though, slowing things down a whole lot more. In the past, you've seen them be really fast. This year, incredibly efficient on offense, going much slower. Iowa would be a team that fits that mold. Gonzaga, 2nd in offensive efficiency, 7th in adjusted tempo. They're a team that is nearly impossible to keep up with. You saw that with the Kansas game back at the beginning of the season in the Fort Myers Tip-Off Classic. Kansas couldn't keep up with Gonzaga's speed. So you are seeing teams that can play fast and play efficient on offense are giving Tennessee fits. And so that defense is, you know, you can make the argument that that defense is still doing enough for Tennessee to win. Now, it's tough to win games when you give up 75 points. But when you're talking about like what happened in the Alabama game, for instance, yes, Alabama was able to speed up Tennessee and make things uncomfortable for the Vols. But at the end of the game, Tennessee only lost by 8 in a game that it shot, you know, 32% from the field in. So in Tennessee has an average offensive day, Tennessee probably wins that basketball game. Arkansas, Tennessee was good offensively, but defensively, it had to rally against Arkansas in the second half and then came back and won. And then you saw with Florida last night, Tennessee looked out of sorts defensively and combined that with a horrible offensive performance. And Tennessee's not going to win a whole lot of basketball games doing that. So for the Volunteers, the next step is focusing on Missouri, but wanted to point that out there, just a pattern that I'm seeing with Tennessee, that these fast-paced teams, and granted, that seems like kind of an obvious point to make. Fast-paced teams that are good offensively are going to be hard for any team to slow down, but for Tennessee, it's been a serious mismatch that defense prefers to play against slower-paced teams, trap them in the half-court offense, try to force them to make mistakes. But Tennessee also, against some of these faster-paced teams, has gotten sped up on offense, and that happened with Tennessee just trying to run and get into its half-court offensive sets last night against Florida. A bunch of turnovers, just trying to run the ball up the floor, forcing the ball out of the hands of a guard. You had EJ Anasigi having to carry the ball up the floor a couple of times last night. And situations like that, Tennessee was forced into bad turnovers. It gave the ball away way too much. And so Florida, 11 turnovers or 11 takeaways in terms of steals. Tennessee, 18 turnovers overall, just 17 made field goals for the Volunteers. Not having Jaden Springer hurt shouldn't have been an issue against a Florida team that was missing three key players last night, even though Florida was at home. So Tennessee falls to 13th in the KenPom rankings. It's the first time this year Tennessee's been ranked outside the top 10. Tennessee now 51st in offensive efficiency after being ranked in the top 30 before last night's game. Still second in defensive efficiency. The defense is still really good and is still going to keep Tennessee in a lot of games. But that performance last night can sometimes be the difference in being a one or a two seed in the NCAA tournament and being a 3, 4, or 5 seed. And if those results continue, we might be questioning whether Tennessee really can win the SEC towards the end of the year. And because of what Alabama did last night, Tennessee is now 2 games back of the Crimson Tide, with Alabama having the head-to-head tiebreaker. And we'll discuss that more coming up in the next segment. But the final score from Gainesville on Tuesday night, Florida defeats Tennessee 75-49. We'll talk more about the SEC next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. Alabama absolutely destroyed LSU on Tuesday night. This was one of the 9 o'clock games in the SEC. Alabama defeated LSU 105-75. 105-75. Alabama scored 60 points in the first half. The Crimson Tide hit 23 three-pointers, shooting 53% from behind the arc. Ended up shooting 56% from the field overall. Out-rebounded LSU 43-40. Had 20 assists in that game. John Petty Jr. with 24 points, all on three-pointers. Josh Primo, the 4-star freshman that has really anchored Alabama's class and has been a nice addition to the backcourt, with 22 points. Herb Jones with 13 points. Javon Quinterly, the transfer, with 22 points on 6 of 7 shooting from outside, 8 of 11 from the floor. Alabama only took 9 free throws in this game. The Crimson Tide beat LSU by 30. This is a good LSU basketball team. Trendon Watford, Darius Days, Javante Smart, all those guys are back. Plus, they have Cam Thomas, the stud freshman, who still put up 21 points in this game, though just shooting 6 of 17 from the field, 1 of 6 from behind the arc. And Alabama flat-out dominated one of the better teams in the SEC. Alabama is 7-0 in SEC play. LSU is now 5-2. Tennessee at 4-2. Missouri and Kentucky both at 3-2. Mississippi State and Florida State at 4-3. Everybody else is below 500 now that South Carolina lost to Missouri on Tuesday night, and more games coming up on Wednesday night. But good grief, Alabama has rocketed up rankings. I mentioned earlier on the weekend edition of the podcast that Alabama had jumped up into the top 20 in the net rankings. That's going to continue to go up. They're 18th as of now. Expect that to change, especially if Alabama wins this weekend. In the KenPom rankings, Alabama is now ranked in the top 10. They are 13th in offensive efficiency, 11th in defensive efficiency, and 12th in adjusted tempo. Alabama is officially one of the best 10 or 12 teams in college basketball, 10th according to KenPom. They're going to be in the top 15 at least in the AP poll when it comes out next week. They entered this week as 18th, and they're 18th in the net rankings. That's going to improve as well. And it's hard to argue with what Nate Oates has done after Alabama suffered some non-conference losses back to start the season. They lost to Stanford in one-sided fashion at the Maui Invitational, lost to a really good defensive team in Clemson, and then got upset by Western Kentucky back on December 19th. And since then, Alabama has cruised. It crushed ETSU. It crushed Ole Miss in SEC play. It's been flawless. Got the win over Tennessee. Beat up on Florida. Outlasted Auburn in Sharif Cooper's debut. Crushed Kentucky at Rupp Arena. And in its last two games against good teams in Arkansas and LSU, it has won by a combined 61 points. Alabama has beaten Arkansas and LSU by a combined 61 points. Those are two top 50 KenPom teams that Alabama has beaten by a combined 61 points. That is insane. If you throw in Kentucky into the mix, Alabama has won its last three games by a combined 81 points. And I realize Kentucky is not good this season. It's not a good Kentucky team. It's a talented Kentucky team that's still ranked 54th in the KenPom rankings, but still, it is unbelievable what Alabama has done to this point in the season through SEC play, but especially what it has done in the last 2 weeks. Alabama looks to be unstoppable, and they're winning in every way imaginable. They've won some defensive games. They've gotten into shootouts and had to outgun teams. They've won defensive battles, and then it's gone out and just absolutely crushed teams and crushed good teams at that. So Alabama looks really, really good at this point in the season. Could that slow down? Yeah, at some point, if you become dependent on the three-point shot and the three-point shot stops falling, that could be an issue. But Alabama sits atop the SEC and now has a two-game lead, at least, over everybody else in the rest of the conference. Looking at the rest of the SEC, Missouri beat South Carolina 81-70. So Missouri, now 9-2 on the season, got a really nice performance out of Jeremiah Tillman, who had 19 points, Mark Smith with 18, Drew Smith with 16. So starting to see a little bit of offense out of Konzo Martin, and of course that defense to go with it. It's going to be a really good game on Saturday, assuming Tennessee can bounce back and play better than it did in Gainesville. Ole Miss defeated Mississippi State 64-46, so Ole Miss improves to 2-4. Mississippi State drops to 4-3. That's a really ugly loss for Mississippi State against an in-state rival within the SEC after having a stretch where it looked like Mississippi State was starting to figure things out on offense. It goes and puts up a 46 spot against the Rebels. Looking around the top 25, Purdue got its first win over a top 15 opponent on the road since 2012, which is really hard to believe when you consider how good Purdue's been over the last several years and the fact that it plays in the Big Ten, which means you get opportunities to go win ranked games on the road every single season. Michigan crushed Maryland 87-63, so Michigan bounces back from that whooping it took from Minnesota. Illinois beat Penn State with ease. Villanova had to survive Seton Hall after that late foul against the Pirates. So Villanova, playing its first game in a long time, beat Seton Hall 76-74. Colin Gillespie with 22 points to help Jay Wright's team. And coming up on Wednesday, some big matchups in the top 25. You've got Creighton taking on Providence. Again, Creighton coming off that bad loss to Butler in overtime with the Blue Jays not having Marcus Zagorowski. Clemson takes on Georgia Tech at 7 o'clock. Tulsa faces Houston as the AAC is starting to get back in action. And then Wisconsin takes on a good Northwestern team that's kind of fallen apart since getting off to that 3-0 start in Big Ten play. So Wisconsin trying to get back on the winning track after suffering a couple of losses within the last couple of weeks. Going back to Monday, mentioned this in the last segment, but Baylor holds off Kansas in a game that was kind of back and forth. Baylor had control of the game, but Baylor would get up by 15 points, and then Kansas would cut it back into 5 or cut it back into 7, and then Baylor would always respond with a run. And Jared Butler was fantastic in this game, going off for 30 points, 1 point shy of his career high. He was 10 of 14 from the field, had a bunch of clutch three-pointers. Every time Kansas came in with that run, Jared Butler would hit a big shot that would kind of distance Baylor from Kansas. So some good results in the top 25 already this week. There's been a bunch of postponements for Wednesday's action. Virginia Tech, Boston College is postponed. St. Louis and UMass is postponed. Texas, Iowa State is postponed. Virginia, NC State is postponed. Texas Tech, TCU, UConn and Xavier, and then Nebraska and Minnesota. So a lot of top 25 teams are not playing as scheduled on Wednesday night. So that's really unfortunate. And hopefully we're able to get things back and rolling. Oregon resumed activities earlier this week, so Oregon should be able to get back to action sometime soon, and you're just having a lot of cancellations and postponements throughout the top 25 and throughout college basketball, and hopefully we'll be able to get everything back on track. Also, with the rankings that came out earlier this week, Duke is unranked for the first time since 2016 after being dropped from the rankings. Just has not been a great season for the Blue Devils, and we'll see if they start to play more games, if Coach K can get his team back on track. But Tennessee will take on Missouri coming up this Saturday. That is a rematch from a game these two teams played to open SEC play. Tennessee won that matchup 73-53 in Columbia. Now Missouri will try to come back and return the favor to Tennessee at a time where the Vols are coming off their worst loss of the season, 75-49 to unranked Florida. That game is set to be played at 8:30 this Saturday night. Coverage is going to start at 8 o'clock on the Sports Animal. You can hear Bob Kessling, Burt Bertelkamp on the call as well. Again, an 8:30 tip-off at Thompson Bowling Arena between 6th-ranked Tennessee and 19th-ranked Missouri. I'm guessing those rankings are going to be different, very, very different by the time the next AP poll comes out next Monday. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Remember, you can follow me at Joel Silverberg for any basketball-related questions or topics you'd like to throw out for the show. And then at Sports Radio WNML is how you follow the station to keep up with everything that we're doing at 99.1 The Sports Animal. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a friend that you know, a college basketball fan you know, about the Behind the Arc podcast. Thank you for listening. We will have more later on after the weekend. Enjoy the college basketball, and we'll talk to you next time on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.